Today is I would say next month, is that right? Yeah, next month I'll have been here 7 years. And in the 7 years that I've been here, this is one of the oddest sermons I've ever prepared. This is totally different than what we normally do here. And so some of you that have been here for a while, a lot longer than me, are now terrified as to what's going to happen, since we've had a lot of unusual things happen in the last 7 years. And for those of you that are guests with us this morning, you might be here for the wedding that's happening this afternoon at 1:30. Kyle and Kristen are getting married. I don't know why they're not here. What in the world? Where's the commitment? I mean, Scott Trickett, our worship pastor, and I, that's one of the reasons that our band is in reduced numbers this morning. You might have noticed that we don't have very many folks up here because we do have a wedding, and there's a lot going on for that today. We were laughing this morning saying, you know, we've heard other church people tell us not to schedule a wedding on Sundays, and we never understood that, and now we do. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be an exciting day today, and we're really looking forward to that. We have been going through the book of Exodus, and we're going to pause on the book of Exodus for the summer. We normally pause for the summer, and we do something else. We do a different sermon series through the summer, and that sermon series is going to start next week. The sermon series is going to be, we're going to work our way this summer through 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the book of Jude, which is shocking enough, since you know how quickly I go through Scripture, that we're going to actually make it through 3 books this summer. We might be in Exodus through 2015, but we are going to get through 1st, 2nd Peter, and the book of Jude this summer by taking large chunks of information and working with that. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'll be introducing all the background stuff and introducing the books next week. And if you are a guest with us this morning, this will be a very unusual kind of tweener sermon. We're between Exodus and we're before 1 Peter. And so we land in the middle today because I'm introducing you to some concepts and some things that we have been talking about as a church leadership for over a year. And, without any further introduction, I'm just going to dive in. On your outlines, you're going to want to follow these outlines kind of carefully. Even the outline is structured much differently than normal, very long and wordy, and I apologize for that. I just want to make sure that you have in print what I'm going to say verbally. From the very earliest days of the church, and by earliest days I mean from the time that Christ left, basically, the church has gathered together in homes to discuss God's Word, to enjoy the benefits of following Christ together. Probably the most vivid picture of the church when it was first getting started is given to us in Acts chapter 2, when the church gathered together and what it was like as God multiplied the church and grew it in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that the church was continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These fundamental building blocks have been true of the church ever since the very beginning, that this is why the church gathers together. We gather together to study God's Word. We gather together for prayer. We gather together for community, which the Bible also calls fellowship. We gather together so that we can live life together and not isolated, not on our own. When we live life all by ourselves, when we decide to isolate ourselves from God's church, it generally results in destruction in our lives in one way or another. Sometimes that destruction is public and we see that destruction. Sometimes it's just internal. And some of you sit there even this morning suffering in some of that destruction and none of us know. And the reason is because we oftentimes forsake this. We oftentimes set this aside. We don't find it to be very important to be in any kind of a small group where we talk about the Word of God, where we fellowship together, where we wrestle with the apostles' teaching, which is the Word, and where we get an opportunity to pray together, which requires us to be open. That funny video, which, believe me, is absolutely hilarious. If you missed some of it because you were laughing, that video is great because it's so true of how some of us feel at different times. Now, for the most part, we wouldn't articulate ourselves quite that way, but For anybody that's been a part of the church for any length of time, we get tired, do we not? We get tired. And see, when I'm around my family and I'm tired, I just tell them to go away. You know, I say, hey, Dad needs a little bit of time. Could you give me some space? Could you guys go play in a room somewhere and that kind of thing? It's a little odd when I say it to my wife, but still, I just need just a smidge of space here so that I can get my head put together. In the church, when we do that kind of thing, we just quit showing up. We just isolate ourselves. We pull away. And unfortunately, in our families, because we live together and we're under the same roof, we're forced back into community. But in the church, we're often not. And we've noticed as a church leadership that our church has grown to this size of around 300 to 320 people. And we grew to that size probably 4 years ago. And we have not expanded beyond that size. We have stayed at this happy place where we've got a lot of folks and we fill the church and a lot of us know each other, and it's been very, very good. But we've also noticed that in our small groups, even though we have 320 plus people that show up to church on a Sunday morning, we have found that in our small groups, there's about 100 to 150 of you that are not involved in any way at all. And so when we come back to Scripture and we look at this and we see how the church functions, and we see that the church came together, again in verse 42, continually devoting themselves to the Word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, to these kinds of things. And if you read that whole passage, there's a little bit more to it, to the way that they function together, that we find that our church, while doing well in these areas, is constantly in need of expansion. We're constantly in need of calling ourselves back into relationship with one another, relationship with the Lord, relationship with each other in prayer and in the breaking of bread, communion, those kinds of things. So we, as a church, of course, have continued, this is letter B, number one, to follow the example that was set by the early church. And we give you numerous opportunities here to study God's Word. We have an abundance of different options, ministries, and opportunities for you to engage. Everything we do is centered around the Scriptures. Everything that we do is Bible-based. Everything that we do is designed to get you and I into God's Word and allow God's Word to transform us. We want to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything that we do is a response out of that. Our elder leadership even spends a great deal of time evaluating and considering the impact of each study that goes on in our church, giving guidance where we feel like it is needed, but keeping track of what every group in this church is studying, what they are teaching, and what is going on. That's some of what our elders do. So what happens? Let's say today's your first Sunday here. What should your expectation be? Well, your expectation on Sunday should be that we're going to open up the Word of God every single week, and we're going to take a look at a passage, and we're going to work our way through that passage, and we're going to talk about what that passage was about in its historical context, but we're also going to bridge that context to our modern setting so that we can understand how God is transforming us. And we have found that the passages that we look at oftentimes are the very things that God is walking us through. So as God is releasing the Israelites from slavery to one thing and taking them on a journey through the desert, and He's doing miracles in their midst, we find that the same kinds of things are happening in our midst. We find that as we study 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude, books that are really about holiness, books that are about sanctification, books that are about removing ourselves from being trapped by the lusts of this world and releasing ourselves into glorifying God with our whole lives, I expect that this summer will be that kind of summer for us. Now, you may not even know what some of those words mean. Sanctification, holiness. You might know a little bit about what lust means, but you probably only think about that in terms of sex. And when the Bible uses the word lust, it's a lot broader than that. And so we're going to learn about those things this summer, and it's going to expand our hearts, but I think this is where God has us as a community. So if it's your first time here, what should you expect? You should expect that on Sunday mornings. But then we would really like it if you would engage a Bible study, and we give you lots of different options. Typically, letter C, a person comes to church on Sunday and engages one Bible study. That's what I do on Sunday morning. And then you go to a different Bible study during the week, which is normally some sort of midweek study. And it's normally different than what your spouse will go to. Like, we've got studies that go on for women. We've got studies that go on for men. And so oftentimes when you leave here, like for me, I do a different study midweek than my wife does. My wife does one through women's ministry. I do one through other ministries, which is also different, next page, than what your children are going to be studying. Your children are on a different track entirely, and they're doing their own thing. Now, for the truly engaged couple, and I don't mean engaged to be married, I mean engaged and locked in, for that kind of a couple, you might also attend a Bible study designed for married couples here at the church. We have those too. And you might be doing a different Bible study in that group. Of course, for the uber engaged, for the people that are just like, you just can't get enough. You are super Bible study people. You come on Sunday morning, you do a Bible study. You're involved in a midweek, probably gender-based Bible study. You go to a married Bible study, and then you have your own personal Bible study that you're doing with the Lord. You're doing like 4 or 5 different Bible studies during the week. You have your own study, and you're working through that each week. Normally, each one of these studies is from a different portion of the Bible. So you might come to church and study Exodus. You might go to your men's group or women's group and be studying something else. And then you go to the marriage group and you study something else. And then you go to your own personal study, and you don't want to study what you're doing in something else, so you study something else. So you are monitoring, some of you, 4 or 5 different Bible studies all at the same time. So that's got some strengths to it. Of course, on the surface of it, letter D, this seems like a great method for making disciples. I mean, you're immersed, are you not? You're soaking it up. For those of you that are only doing one Bible study, you're probably sitting there going, wow, I should probably be doing more. I didn't realize that to be uber engaged, I needed 4 of those things. And so, you know, you're feeling the tug right now to be doing some more Bible studies. And on the surface of it, it would seem like that makes for great discipleship. We are a church which is highly committed to Bible-centered small groups. And we encourage every person to be involved as much as you can. So much so that, I'll get to that. Letter B, our elder leadership, however, has realized that there are some of the effects of this process, as we've studied it over the past year plus, that can be detrimental to us. First off, we've noticed that this process of discipleship, and that's really, by the way, why we exist, right? We're making disciples. We're making disciples. We're reaching out to the world to make more disciples. We want to glorify God by being disciples, and we want to glorify God by making disciples. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love others in the same way, out of our love for God. And we do everything out of those 2 commandments. And so, in observing all of this, our elders have noticed that there's some detrimental things that can happen too. Number 2, letter B. First, we've noticed that the process for discipleship in our church is complicated. It's confusing. When someone comes to us and says, hey, I'm brand new to the church, what can I do? We often give them about 12 different options. We're like, here it is. It's like a menu at Mimi's Cafe or Hoff's Hut. It's not like we specialize in any one thing. We got it all. We got your southern ribs. We got your, you know, New Orleans jambalaya. We've got your New York strip steak. We've got California hamburgers. We got it all. We just try to do everything. Well, in a church of our size, doing everything is obviously quite difficult. And for some of you, we've noticed that it kind of wipes you out. You're really, really busy people. And for those of you that have children, you're even more busy. You've got a lot going on. So we've noticed that this process for discipleship, when someone comes into the church and they want to know, what is it that your church does? How is it that I become a disciple of Jesus Christ through the ministries of your church? We've noticed that it's pretty complicated. Now see, here's the hard part. For those of you that have been a part of this church for a long time, you don't think it's complicated at all. You've been doing this your whole life. Some of you have been here longer than I've been alive. That's a long time to be at one church. I'm almost 44 years old. And some of you have been here over 60 years. And this is totally normal to you. It's totally, like, you could map it all out in your head. It's just right in there. You could explain to somebody, oh yeah, well, we've got men's ministries and women's ministries. We've got marriage builders ministries. We've also got children's ministries, and we've got several of those. We've got Awana ministries. We've got Sunday ministries. We've got midweek ministries. We've got all kinds of different things. And let me tell you about our youth ministries. We've got three different levels of that. And boom, 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 and just boom. And somebody's like taking notes and like, you know, they need a roadmap to figure out what's going on. Now, some of that's positive. This is a great church for families. We've got something that is going to appeal to everybody. But some of that is really complicated. Everyone is invited to participate on Sunday mornings, but after that, what you do next to get discipled is kind of vague. There's no clear process for discipleship. But rather, we go with the more is better. Lots of varied options, which may or may not lead to a discipled individual. In fact, measuring whether or not you are being discipled here is usually measured by how much you are involved with. And you and I both know that's not a good measure of a disciple. Being busy at a church has never created discipled people. You can be involved in a ton of stuff, and your heart could be cold as stone. You could be dead right where you sit, even though you're very, very busy. Why do I know that? I go to seminary. I go to seminary with people that are studying God's Word in languages you don't even want to think about, and they are cold as ice. Not walking with God at all. Why? Because this has become a textbook, and they're so busy doing, 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 they've lost track of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I got to tell you, I don't want to produce those kinds of disciples. I'm 43 years old. I've got one shot at the prime of my life. One shot. I want to make sure that we're making disciples that love Jesus with all their hearts and live out of that love. Our elders feel the same way. Our whole leadership is gripped by this idea that we do not want to mistakenly, in the midst of being busy, miss the mark. Where am I? I'm on letter C. Second, we've noticed that people are also extremely busy. I mentioned this earlier. Trying to do all the different activities which go on at our church. Different ministries actually end up competing for your attention. You heard it this morning. I'm working with youth ministry these days. So what do I announce up here? Youth ministry stuff. You know what's going to happen this next week at staff meeting? Hey, Chris, that was a great announcement about youth ministry. Could you give that announcement for children's ministry for this thing that I'm doing? Hey, Chris, I heard what you said about youth ministry. That was really great. I've got this men's ministry thing coming up. Or, you know, you guys know that I live with the women's ministry director. She's my wife. And so she'll say, hey, Chris, you know, that was really great what you said about that. I think it'd be more fair if you'd give the women's ministry a little bit of playtime here. And could you tell them about this next thing that's going on? And so we come up here on, have you ever been here on a Sunday when I have to announce like 14 things? You're just like, holy mackerel, what's going on? It's because the ministries have been set up in such a way at our church that they end up competing for your time. They compete for your attention, your participation, and your support. We have highly successful ministries at this church. Highly successful. If you've ever taken a good look at some of our ministries, they are really sharp. But we also have some that aren't so successful because they're not as able to do that competing for your time thing. And so it's a kind of a funny world that we live in. Some of you are facing competition from school. You know, some of you with kids that are in junior high and high school, you're facing that competition. Your kids are involved in student government and cheerleading and sports teams, and so they've got that competition going on. You're trying to monitor that, and then you've got your church things, and you've got all those things that you've got to be doing, and then you've got the rest of your life, like paying bills and that kind of thing, and that kind of competes for your time, and you're trying to fit it all in, and it's just a very, very busy life. And as I read 1 and 2 Peter in the book of Jude, do you know why it says what one of the main motivations is for us to live this life, for us to live obediently to the Lord? So that the world that is around us would see what a different lifestyle Christians live. And so that we could reach out to them with the great news about Jesus Christ. And I got to admit, we're too busy to really reach out to other people. And I'm just speaking for Melinda and I. We're very, very busy. Reaching out to my neighbors, I mean, I just hope they're outside when I get out of my car. That's about all I got for them. I wave a lot. We're very good at that. We all know each other on the block. We wave a lot. And that's about the relationship that many of us have. It's not unusual for families and friends, letter D, to be involved in so many different studies and ministries. They're seldom actually united together, even within families, in their discipleship. Kids are studying one thing, wives are studying a different thing, husbands are studying a different thing. We all come together on Sunday and we study one thing, but we don't really talk about that afterwards because we're very busy doing other things. This is typical. Reaching out to neighbors or friends with the gospel is almost impossible. We have become a community that is far too busy to reach out to others. Third, top of the next page. We've noticed that the primary mouthpiece of our elder teaching, which is our Sunday morning service, by the way, that's what I get to do, is one of the highest areas of investment. And that sounds a little self-serving when I say that, but I'll explain it in just a second. But it's one of the lowest areas of discipleship. Every week I put 15 to 20 hours of my time into the church service. I do a lot of study, a lot of reading, a lot of getting ready for the church service. I sometimes do silly things like look for videos on the internet, like the one we watched this morning. Occasionally I find a gem and I'll show it to you. But I spend a lot of time just studying the Word of God. The church has gone to great expense to train me in the original languages. And so I spend time studying the Word of God in the original language. I spend a lot of time getting ready for Sunday mornings. 15 to 20 hours. On weeks where I'm doing introductions, it's more like 30 hours. That's a lot of time to put into to just what happened. I mean, some of you have said to me, so what do you do during the week? Do you like golf a lot and that kind of thing? Nope. Takes about that. Now, Pastor Scott spends, and I guess here, about 15 to 20 hours of his week getting ready for Sunday morning. He's got groups that he practices with. He has to meet with me each week. We actually have a couple of meetings during the week, a staff meeting, and then we have an individual meeting, and we're just preparing for Sunday morning. We talk about what we're doing in the long term, in the short term. We have a lot of things, a lot of different tracks that we're tracking on, and so Pastor Scott is putting 15 or 20 hours in. There's lots of practices that have to go into Sunday morning. Anything that we do has got to be practiced first. We have to check it first. We have to make sure it actually works. Then we still have problems occasionally. The elders have a lot to do with Sunday mornings, and they invest a great deal in what we do teaching-wise. Our staff does. There's a great number of people like you that show up on Sunday morning. This is the one thing we do that the entire church gets together for. There's a great deal of prayer that goes into Sunday morning. Prayer that goes on behind the scenes. Prayer that I participate in. Prayer that Pastor Scott and Carrie Kaufman and Sherilyn Caravo and the rest of our staff team participate in. We've got the service itself, which is what we all experience on Sunday mornings. There's a great deal of worship training that goes on Sunday mornings. What we try to do on Sunday mornings is not something that is remote or difficult, something that you cannot possibly duplicate in your own lives. It is an example to us of how we can be worshipers of God even in our daily lives. Even when you're driving down the road and you flip on the radio station, a Christian radio station, and you hear a Christian song, you probably have heard those kinds of songs, as long as they're good, being played here at church. There's a lot that goes into our Sunday mornings. It is the highest amount of investment that is made at Long Beach Alliance Church. I won't even add to it how much salary goes in to what goes on Sunday mornings. Because it sometimes sounds a little cheap to talk about the money that is invested in our staff and say, look at the number of hours that they invest in this one thing. So our investment in this area is high. Our elders consider this the singular mouthpiece of the elder board to our church body. God works in a lot of different ways through our church, but this is the mouthpiece of the elders. And for whatever strange reason, God has chosen me to be that mouthpiece. Amongst the elders, which are a group of equals in this church, they've chosen me and you've chosen me to be the mouthpiece for that elder board. A lot goes into this. But the form of teaching that we use on Sunday morning is lecture, right? You sit there. I try to give you some notes, but I don't even give you fill-ins because I'm afraid you're going to get distracted. And so I just give you notes and you listen and I speak. Have you ever read the statistics on how much retention you get from that kind of talk? How many of you remember the lectures that you had in college? Yeah, I don't either. You know why? Because lecture is a notoriously bad way to learn. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in preaching uniquely. I believe that that is going to cut some of us right to the heart. And I believe that God uses this thing, this stupid thing that we call preaching, but God uses it as a blessing in our lives. However, I believe that we can do more with our Sunday morning time. I think we can do more with the investment that we're making in our Sunday morning service. In some ways, the Sunday morning sermon is just a standalone time. There's very little discipleship impact on the rest of the church ministries, at least intentional discipleship aspect. Some of you go to lunch and you talk about the sermon. And I'm always grateful for that. I get a couple of emails every week saying, hey, you said this, what does that mean? We were at lunch and we were talking about this and we thought this was interesting. Thanks for saying this. I'd never understood that before. But rather than being a central aspect, really Sunday morning is one of many options. It's just one of multiple options that we have on the menu here at Long Beach Alliance Cafe for your spiritual life. So in the last year, number three, letter A, our staff and our elder leadership have considered all these issues. There are others which contribute to this, but these are the main issues that we've been looking at. Some of them are too lengthy to discuss this morning, how every single thing fits into this. But we felt challenged to retain the great things at our church, that we have biblically-centered small groups, that we have a commitment to discipleship. There are a lot of authentic relationships that are here at our church. Things are going well, in other words. Things at Long Beach Alliance Church are going well. And you know what I'm about to say. We are about to propose a change at Long Beach Alliance Church. Now, just by me saying that, some of you are going to be just ticked. You're just going to be mad. Why change something that's going kind of good? I mean, so what? Nothing's perfect. We got a good thing going. Why do you guys have to tinker with it? And it just agitates us. It's like going home and you got, you know, In my bathroom, I'm a real organized guy. Everything's got its place. If Melinda takes something and puts it on the other side of the counter, when I walk in there, before I can even brush my teeth, I have to take that thing and put it back where it belongs. I'm just that kind of person. I'm used to things being in their place. When things are not in their place, I lose my noodle. If I don't put my cell phone, my keys, my glasses and everything in the same place every single time, you know what happens? I walk out the door without them. I walk out to my car and I'm like, where are my keys? What? How did I get here? That kind of thing. I'm a creature of habit. And I know a lot of you are creatures of habit. I'm not criticizing. I'm wired the same way. So as I sit here this morning, as I stand here this morning, I propose a change. Some of you are just immediately, you've broken out in a sweat. You don't care for this kind of thing, which is why I'm explaining it to you. This morning, I'm explaining the background on it, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's been at work in all the other Sunday morning sermons, is at work this morning. All right? Like, you can't go home today and just go, what the devil is going on over there? The Holy Spirit, I believe, has been leading us into this. The same Spirit is at work. Will be next week, too. We really are trusting that God is leading us into some change. But we're not sure, we're not totally sure what that change is going to look like. And so we need your help. I'll be honest, we need your help. We're not too sure how this is all going to play out. We've got some ideas, and I'm going to share those with you. But it's more of a skeleton. We got to put some meat and some bones on that thing, or some meat and some skin on that thing to fill it out. So we've been looking at this. We want to retain the good things, but we want to improve the areas of ministry we feel need some refining. We feel like our system is too complex and it needs simplicity, particularly for those that are new to the church or those that are not involved yet. I'm not talking to those of you that have been here for 1,000 years, okay? I know that you get it. I know that you're like, Chris, it is so easy. I promise you. Guests that come to our church, we're honored that we get a regular stream of new folks that you bring to church. And what we're trying to do is keep them. Have you noticed that the front door is wide open? You're meeting new people all the time. Those of you that have been here a long time, what's the most common thing you say to me? I don't know everybody's name. It's so much fun. I used to know everybody at Long Beach Alliance, but now I don't know everybody. I'm meeting new people all the time. But have you noticed that the back door is just as open as the front door? We got people streaming in and we got people streaming out. And why is that? We feel like part of the reason is that we have a really complex system. It's hard to connect your family into what's going on around here. There's a lot of things going on. And we feel like we need to simplify. Not simplify and like dumb it down. But we need to move from complexity to simplicity. We need to move from more is better to less is better. We need to move from lots of options to a centrality on our Sunday sermon. From our discussions, letter B, and after much prayer, reading, study, more meetings than you can imagine, believe you me. I've been in every one of them. Well, almost every one of them. Our elder leadership and our staff began to develop a more clear idea of how growth groups, you should underline that, that's going to be key. We're going to have a summer growth group series. And so you're going to hear growth groups a lot more. They're not small groups. I mean, they might be small, but they're designed for growth. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make disciples. And so we've got growth groups, which can impact our church for the better. There's something different. Growth groups are not like anything we've probably done before. Here's some of the key ideas that contribute to that. First, we want to simplify, letter C, the process or the path of discipleship at our church. Simply, we want everyone who comes to Long Beach Alliance Church to attend the Sunday morning church service, and we want you to attend a midweek growth group meeting. When it comes to discipleship, this is all that we are asking of you from here on out. That's it. Come to church, be involved in a small group. Growth group, sorry. That'll take me a while to kick out of my head. Come to Sunday morning and come to a growth group. What do I mean by that? Let me explain it philosophically. We believe that we are a church that has been called to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. And we believe it works like a funnel. We love God on Sunday morning. That's where we come and we crack open the Word of God and we really learn what God has shared with us in His Word, and we learn how to adore Him. We learn through the times of worship. We learn through the times in the Word. We learn through the times of community that we have that we talk about in our announcements. We learn through by observing communion together. We learn through experiencing baptisms together. We are here on Sunday morning to love God in all of His fullness as He describes Himself in Scripture. We want to be a group of people that loves God. Out of that love for God, we are called into community or fellowship with one another. We're called to love each other. I could give you all these one another verses that are in Scripture that talk about how we are to treat each other, how we are to love one another, how we are not supposed to isolate ourselves from each other, but we are supposed to cling to each other, meet together, study the Word of God together, talk about it together, process through it together, meet one another's needs when we have need. We are called to be a group of people that love others. The world will know about the goodness of Jesus Christ if you love one another. If you are not in a small group, if you do not meet with other Christians, how will the world ever see that you love anyone? God has given us this great gift of being together and living life together so that we can love one another. So we are to love God, and out of that love, we love each other. And out of that love for each other, it abounds and it overflows, and we are able to serve the world. Not serve the world just as individuals, but actually serve the world with those other friends and people that we are in fellowship with. Reaching out to our community, reaching out to the people that are around us. And I won't explain all of this this morning, but we want to provide opportunities that exist for our church, to for everybody to get together to love the world. Not just some group getting an idea and saying, hey, we're going to go do this, but having service opportunities, ways to serve the world, ways to love on people that are outside of these walls that are available to all of our growth groups. To our growth groups are gathering together and serving the world. We see it as a funnel that works its way down. We love God. We love others. We serve the world. This is what our church is called to do. How do you do that? You learn about loving God by coming to church on Sunday morning. You learn to love others by being involved in a growth group. And then that growth group learns how to serve the world together. Out of their relationship with each other and their love for each other, they love the world. That's it. It's very simple. Now, some of you are panicking right now. So I'm going to go on so that you'll stop panicking. I'll start answering some of your heartfelt questions. We want you to attend the Sunday morning church service, a midweek growth group meeting. That's it. While some people who are growing will also have the honor of serving in a ministry, another midweek commitment, we consider that above and beyond. We believe that you should be involved in service. We believe that some of that service is to this community. We cannot run a children's ministry without adults, those kinds of things. But what we are seeking in loving God and loving others and serving the world is that you'd come on Sunday morning and that you'd get involved in a growth group. We feel like that is necessary for every single person that is in this church. And there's at least 125 of you that are not involved in any kind of midweek ministry at all. You are not involved in any kind of Bible study. As you sit there right now, I am talking to you. Some of you are really involved. Some of you are over-involved. Some of you, this is the greatest news you've ever heard. You're like, are you kidding me? That gives me four more nights a week. That is unbelievable. Now, that may be startling, some of you. Like, how am I going to walk with God? So we're going to ease into this. Second thing, letter D. We understand that if we're going to add something to our schedule, something else must be removed. We have been a church that when we get a good idea, we just add one more thing. Nothing ever dies here. We just keep doing more. If we get a good idea, we just keep doing more. We cannot simply keep adding things. It's going to kill us. I've been here 7 years. We just don't remove anything. Nothing. Once we add something, you're in. You have the greatest job security in the universe. We don't let anything go. If we're going to add something, something in our church schedule has to be taken out. In order to accomplish this, top of the back page, we're choosing to have a dress rehearsal this summer of our growth groups. It's a dress rehearsal. You know what a dress rehearsal is, right? It's like the real thing, but it's not. It's just a dress rehearsal. You're going to figure out things. We're going to figure out what the kinks are. We're going to figure out how it works. We're going to figure out how it feels. And at the end of the dress rehearsal, we want everybody to get together and we're going to have a general congregational meeting and we're going to talk about it because we want to hear what you have to say. I know some of you are right now thinking of ideas that you want to say at that meeting. Stop it. Give it a chance. Don't freak out yet. There's plenty of time to freak out. Don't do it today. Just allow this thing to wash over you right now. Allow what, you know, I realize I've been talking to the elders about this for over a year. I've been talking with our church staff about this for probably a year and a half. For some of you, it's the first time you've heard about it. It's bound to be startling. I've had a lot more time to ease into this, and you have not. So please, don't panic. Just want to encourage you, hang on tight. I promise you, you get more used to it. You'll have questions, but you'll get more used to it. We're going to do a dress rehearsal this summer of growth groups. In fact, following the church service today, when you walk outside, I believe it's outside, in the courtyard, there will be tables set up, and there will be space for about 180 people in growth groups. We have all the homes, we have all the facilitators, we have all the leaders already done. We've been working on this behind the scenes, and we are ready to launch. And so when you walk out of here today, you'll have the opportunity to put your name down on a list. But in order to add this thing to our schedule, we have asked every ministry in the church to stop doing their midweek Bible study to make space for this. In other words, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, and any other ministry, marriage ministry, those are the three primaries that do midweek Bible studies. We've asked them to not do midweek Bible studies just for the summer, just for the period of the dress rehearsal. They're going to start back up again. Don't freak out. You haven't lost your favorite Bible study forever or anything like that. We're trying to understand this better. We're trying to ease into it. But we've asked every ministry to put their Bible study on hiatus, basically, for the summer, so that we can, as an entire church, concentrate on our growth groups, which are very much Bible study based. We want them to make space for the summer growth group series. In our studies and our readings, statistics, letter E, have revealed that churches with less things on their schedule actually encourage people to focus on their growth and their discipleship more easily. When there's less going on, it gives you the space to actually process and grow and transform. Now, I know that's counterculture to some of you. Some of you feel like, Chris, if I'm not involved in five Bible studies, I cannot grow. I promise you, statistics show that when there's less going on, there is more opportunity for you to be discipled and for you to grow. When there are not six Bible studies, five Bible studies, four Bible studies, three Bible studies, two Bible studies that you are tracking with, when you have a singular focus on what you are doing, that will encourage more growth in your life, not less. So we want to encourage that kind of growth and make it much easier for newcomers and friends to get involved more easily and to have a common conversation with our church. Complex churches seldom grow. Our church is complex. It may not seem that way to all of you, but it is by anybody's measure. We are looking to simplify our church, and we are looking to reach more people by doing so. Reach more people in our growth groups, reach more people on Sunday morning. And by the way, some of you are going to say, oh, that's what this is all about. They're just trying to get more numbers. Oh, that's disgusting. How unethical is that? A church that wants to grow. Hey, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but have you noticed that in the Bible, whenever the church got together, what did they do? They grew. How did they grow? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blessed them and added to their number. And added a lot to their number. Now, we have 2,000 years of church behind us that for some people, they would have to, you know, overcome quite a bit just to show up to church. But I just want you to know, definitionally, we believe that the church is supposed to grow. Our church has not grown at all in 4 years. I'm not just going to sit here and watch that happen. I cannot do that. That would be irresponsible of me to do that. I'd be a bad shepherd, a bad leader, to just sit here and do that. I'm very comfortable right now. I'm very happy. I love you, and I feel the love that you guys have for me, at least before today. I feel the love that you guys have for me. But there are more people out there that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I want them to be exposed to you. I want them to be a part of this church. This church is a wonderful, awesome place to be. I want us to grow. And I believe that it's biblical. It shouldn't be our focus, but I think it is biblical. Finally, we want to create a greater level of discussion surrounding the central teaching aspect of our church. We want to maximize our investment in our Sunday morning, basically. My great desire as lead pastor here is that our whole church be able to join together in discussion, interaction, and deeper transformation, which flows out of the Sunday morning teaching time. So our small groups are going to be sermon-based. They will start with the sermon on Sunday, and then the small group will flow out of that. Now, we're only going to meet four times this summer, which means on some weeks there won't be any kind of a growth group attached to the Sunday before. For the summer, because it's a dress rehearsal, we're not running at it quite as aggressively because we're trying to figure out what we're doing and how we're doing and all that kind of thing. Like I said, it's a dress rehearsal. And so because of that, we're trying really hard to get an idea of what it's like to base our Bible studies off of the Sunday morning sermon. We don't want our Bible studies that we do midweek to just be a retread. Like, well, what did Chris say about Jesus? He said that Jesus is really a nice guy. I mean, that'd be worthless, would it not? I mean, that's not a Bible study. That's just a retread. I know this sounds crazy, but I could study for the Sunday morning sermon 40 or 50 hours a week. Easy. When I do just a few verses, I could spend that kind of time on a Sunday morning sermon. So it's stunning to me that people are like, you know, there's just not enough material there to have a good Bible study. That is a bunch of hooey. All right? I'm sorry to use such strong language, but that is. It's just, that's terrible. There's plenty of information contained in Scripture for us to have phenomenal discussion about it. And I don't know if you've ever read 1 and 2 Peter in the book of Jude, but it'll knock your socks off. It's powerful stuff. It's unreal. And we're going to take big chunks of Scripture, but I'm not going to have like three-hour sermons. We're going to allow your growth groups to be a place where you can really unpack some of that stuff and talk about it. So the growth group experience will be unique. It will springboard off of Sunday morning, but it will not just be a retread. It will be something fresh and something new for you to engage, interact with. And if you disagree with me, and I know some of you disagree with me on stuff on Sunday morning, and you never get to talk to anybody about it, I'm giving you the opportunity. Just go into your growth group and say, you know, when Chris said that, you know, Jesus is like a box of chocolates, I just don't believe that. And talk about that kind of thing. Like, let's unpack this stuff. Like the video said. Following these principles of greater simplicity and maximizing the connection, in other words, the Velcro, I'll be able to talk to my wife about the Bible study that she's in. Because we'll be studying the same stuff, even if we go to different Bible studies. Even if she goes to one with a bunch of her girlfriends and I go to one with a bunch of my guy friends, not boyfriends, come on, let's not do that. I go to one with a bunch of my guy friends and we're in different Bible studies, you know what? We're going to be studying the same stuff. So that when we come around together as a family, we get to talk about the Word of God together in a more natural manner. Those of you that are older, when you meet someone that's younger at this church, you don't have nothing in common with them. That was a double negative. I'm apologizing. You will have something in common with them. You're going to be able to engage them about what they're studying in their Bible study. Why? Because you're studying the same thing. We want our church to engage and have common language. And we want new people and old people to be able to talk about the same kinds of things, about how God is transforming us through His Word. The springboard for that will be Sunday morning, but we'll get to talk about it all week long. Oh my gosh, there's a wedding coming in just a few minutes. I'm leading that thing. I got to get done here. So this maximizing connection, I call it being Velcroed or being stuck to one another. Like we're gonna make our church more Velcro-y, more sticky, more connected, more on the same page. You don't even know this, but few of us are on the same page when it comes to God's Word. We've never really even tried to do what they did in the early church. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching. We barely even utilize our Sunday morning, despite all the investment we put into it. We barely even utilize it in some sort of a intentional way in our church. So we springboard off a Sunday morning, and we have groups that are centered on growth, which flow from the central teaching of God's Word each week. Now, in the past, we've attempted to engineer our small group experiences at the church. We've tried to control things like who's in each group. Like, we've assigned you to groups. We've told you, You, teenager, are going to be with them, older person, and you have to get along. And you know what? That's been abysmal. Like, that's just, well, you can't engineer these groups. These groups have to kind of flow naturally. So you have your choice. You choose where you get to go. We also have chosen how long you meet. Your group's only going to meet for 3 months, and then you have to break up and you can't meet with any of the people that you just met with. I know you love them and you care about them and you're invested in their lives. We want you to tear that all apart, and we want you to meet new people and invest with them so that we can screw that up again in 3 more months. We're not going to do that. If we go to these growth groups, whatever iteration of growth groups that we end up being in, which we need your input to determine, we're not going to break you up. Your growth group could meet for 20 years. We hope that you'll reach out to other people, but we realize we cannot force you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We are no longer going to play the role of the Holy Spirit in our small groups. Apparently, He's got it covered. That's a big stretch for our elder board. We really thought that's what we were there to do. But we know it's not. We're not into group engineering. Our results have been unfortunate. We've hurt people. These growth groups will be different. There will be as little group engineering as possible. Some of you are going to come up to me, maybe even today, because your brain's about to burst, and you're going to say, I cannot meet with any woman ever. I have to have a group that is only guys. I cannot talk if there's other women there. And that might be a real positive, by the way. But, oh, come on. Anybody that knows me knows I'm just using the guys as a funny example. We all know, right? Right? It's you women that love meeting together. Us guys can be in the same room, never say anything to each other. We're totally fine. It's you ladies that want to get together and hang out with each other and talk about crafting and all that other stuff. And you're like, I don't want a man to be there. He's not going to know what the latest patterns are. This is going to require some stretching, is it not? Any kind of change requires some stretching and some. I just want you to remember, there's nothing sacred about meeting in a gender-based group. There's nothing sacred about meeting in a group that just has people that are your age. I only want to meet with 43-year-olds that are bald. It's my zone, all right? It's just what I do. It's just who, those are my people, all right? That's who I got to meet with. I realize that you have a perception inside of your head that you've got a zone somewhere at this church. I don't know what it is, but your perception is that's my zone. It's the only people I can learn about God with. Do you realize that in the Bible, they didn't do that, right? There are no gender-based groups that you're going to find in the Bible. There's gender-based mentorship, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to have women-on-women mentoring. We're going to continue to have men-on-men mentoring that exists in our men's ministries and our women's ministries. We're not abolishing anything. What we are saying is that we want our growth groups to resemble what I look at every Sunday morning, which is a whole potpourri of people. Now, you can grab your friends. Hey, I'm too chicken to do this by myself. Will you sign up in my growth group with me? Great. Go to the table together. Hold each other's hands while you sign. I don't care. Just get involved in the growth group, would you? I promise you that God's riches are going to be poured out through this in one way or another, in all the things that we learn, in the way that we experience it together. The fact that we're doing this all together, it's going to have a unifying effect. But we're going to engineer it as little as possible. So don't come and ask me to engineer something. I can't do it. It would violate the principles that we've learned from the Lord. I cannot engineer something. If you want to go out there on the patio and try, go for it. But I can't do that. I don't want that to discourage anybody. I'm asking you to do what it says in Scripture. Just continually devote yourselves to the teaching of the apostles to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Our desire is simply that each group will be hosted and facilitated by consistent and committed leaders. We are quite happily leaving the rest up to the Holy Spirit. My invitation to you is to give it a try. Even if you have hesitation, even if you are like, this is the worst thing Long Beach Alliance Church has ever done. We need to find a different bald pastor. We got to get going with some other direction. I'm good with that. Just sign up for a growth group, would you? All right? Just give it a try. And I don't mean give it like a rebellious, nasty try. Like, I'm going to try. I'm going to sink that growth group. I'm going to come in there with theological questions nobody can answer. Hey, I got a question for you. How could God be completely sovereign and evil exists in the world? Try that one on for size. All right? I'm not looking for you to tank things. We don't need to just go in and... I want you to give it an authentic, real try. Please. You may have to go home and pray about that. You may have... That may take a little processing. But my invitation to you is to give it a try. Engage it authentically and be prepared to talk about your experience at the end of the summer. We're going to have at least one, maybe even more, congregational meetings where we unpack and we talk about this stuff. And we see. Because we do not feel that we have the corner on the market on how to run things. We want these to be the lifeblood of our church that runs straight through our Sunday morning of loving God, that moves into the relationships that we have with each other in these growth groups and loving others. And then we gather together around all church opportunities to serve that your growth group can choose to be a part of or choose to pass on. And maybe choose something else down the line when your group is ready to be involved in some sort of service opportunity. We want this to be all about loving God, loving others, and serving the world. I've taken a lot of time this morning, and this has been a very odd sermon. This took so long to put together. Ugh. Cannot wait to get into 1 Peter next week. I'm thirsty for it. But I can tell you that the growth groups are going to meet that first week after 1 Peter. And so you should go home and read that book. You should begin to prepare your heart for what God has for us. You should begin to engage how God is going to be growing us this summer. It's just a dress rehearsal, but I invite you to be involved. I'm going to ask that the worship team come on up here, that they would give us an opportunity to respond. For some of you, this might just be a time of prayer, a time of wrestling, but I'm hopeful, I'm really hopeful, that this will be a time where you cannot wait to get out onto that porch and see what opportunities there are for you to engage being in a growth group. God's calling us to this summer, and I hope that you will be a part of it. If you do have any questions or you do have any comments, just write Scott, would you? No, I'm joking. My email address is right there on the worship guide, and you can call me any old time. I'm doing a wedding at 1:30 today, so call me after that. But I'm really looking forward to see what God has for us this summer as we engage these things. Let's stand and worship the King.